Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Monday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I'm going to do a short show today. We're going to be starting with a little bit of inspiration, and we're going to discuss and talk about Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine. Today is August 15th, 2011. This is session number 148. I did open also the live chat in case anybody wants to jump in there for comments and questions. So we really do learn how to take life in stride. I'm going to start today with a quote from Pratik Day, just a regular guy, a homeopath, that is, has posted some little bit of information in the Facebook page, Clinical Homeopathy. He says, and he wrote it on August 13, 2011, homeopathic remedies are not homeopathic simply because they have been used by a homeopath. Remedies are not homeopathic because they are potentized and attenuated or prepared after the fashion of our school. What constitutes a remedy to be homeopathic? He gives us an answer. He says, it has demonstrated its curative relationship to the patient. After having been prescribed in accordance with his symptoms, the recovery taking place in the proper direction, from above downward, from within out, and in the reverse order of the symptoms. That constitutes a remedy homeopathic, and that constitutes the prescription homeopathic. It is then a specific remedy, and in no other sense can a remedy be called a specific. Very interesting little post, and we know that as we continue to study Hahnemann's Organon, we learn the basic principles, philosophy, theory, and how the homeopathic remedies are selected. We know that homeopathic medicines can be called homeopathic only in the individual cases when they have a curative action, and that everything is dynamic in this world. And then we're going to mention that this is just a simple study session, and any listeners must consult their health care provider. If you are on the live chat, please introduce yourself and post your comments and questions there. Whenever you get to Blog Talk Radio, you may click Listen, and I don't know whether they call it a friend or a fan now. You can favorite the show and leave your comments there. Share this show with your friends on Twitter and get it out into the Twittersphere, and on Facebook. It's easy to share. You can listen to the old shows and archives by downloading them to your computer, iTunes, or iPod. And if you are a professional homeopath and have colleagues in the HWC, Homeopathic World Community, you may place an application to join us there. We are undergoing a transition at this time. I'm making some formal announcements very soon. That on October 9th, 2011, HWC, Homeopathy World Community, will go to a fee-based network like many other, the thousands of other NING, N-I-N-G, NING networks, have now a fee feature because it is a necessity in today's economic times, and one person the administrator is not able to bear the burden of paying for the entire network as costs consistently are increasing. So anyone who wants to continue on with HWC, there is a very nominal annual fee to remain in the organization. It is a professional organization, and as such, you gain status and respect as a professional in the homeopathic community. It is your business card, your calling card, your profile page lets people know where to find you. And this is really important. And all the things that you say on the network, all of your posts, blogs, discussions, comments, and follow-ups, all of those things are with you at all times. That is your legacy, and it will always be there for people to find you on the internet. So that is why it is so important to keep on as a member of this community, besides many, many other really good reasons. I'd also like to announce that the Bulgarian Sensation School will continue again on its third year to have the educational course in the Sensation Method in Homeopathy with Dinesh Shehwan in his workshop and seminar in Bulgaria. The workshop will be held on September 8th of this year, 2011, and the seminar will be from the 9th, 10th, and 11th online. In the Park Hotel Isida in Dobrich, Bulgaria. There is an entire calendar event posting and a featured posting on the HWC network. We also send it out to the Twittersphere so people will find out about this particular event. The topic of the workshop will be children's cases. It will be broadcast over the network, over the internet, in real time, live stream. So if you want to participate and hear this particular special broadcast, click on the feature on HWC for the exciting journey with Dr. Dinesh Shehwan and the scientifically intuitive case witnessing process is what you will learn. He specializes in pediatric cases. And you will learn more detailed understanding of this case witnessing process called CWP and how to connect it with yoga and various other techniques and using the use of eye movements, hand gestures, and how to break various defenses of the patient like denial and projections. We will also learn on that particular workshop in those days in September about Herring's Law of Direction of Cure, which was mentioned in today's opening quote of Pratik Day, that there is a direction of cure that we are looking to see, to know and confirm a correct prescription. We also learn about the homeopathic aggravation and healing awareness in patients. So take a look at that. In addition, last week on our show, we talked about Dr. Ravindra Sarswat's fear of death. We were talking a lot about homeopathic management. And today, if you're on the network, we have some really great, really wonderful new posts to look at. I'm going to open up just home. It's www.homeopathyworldcommunity.com. And along the left-hand column, we have our forum articles. There's one on chronic constipation and homeopathy by Dr. Rajneesh Kumar Sharma, MD. And there's a question by Rivat Nawab about what are metabolic diseases. And there is a special place on the network for holiday greetings so that they don't get scattered everywhere. A couple of holidays going on in India. Independence Day was recently this week, and Raksha Bandhan, the thread of love for brothers and sisters. Let us all work together. We have Chandran Nambiar has been writing numerous articles about his view of how the body works, and the latest one is called Susceptibility, the state of internal biochemical environment of the organism that facilitates diseases. And I see that Dr. Vashisht is on, and one really great post by Dr. Ghanshyam Kalanthia, and everybody, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing your names correctly. He's really teaching a little bit more about the sensation method, which is what we're looking forward to the upcoming workshop, and no-sodes. There are a lot of activities that you can learn about on the network. And don't forget to visit the other page, Homeopaths Daily. It's our daily newsletter with a lot of great articles. And Heidi Stevenson is the best advocate for health and awareness in medicine today. So we're going to move along with our study of the organon for a little bit. And we have been recently doing the aphorism 242, which I'll review. And I'm going to just check if anybody is on the chat. Organon aphorism 242 says, if, however, in such an epidemic intermittent fever, the first paroxysms have been left uncured, or if the patients have been weakened by improper allopathic treatment, then the inherent sora that exists, alas, in so many persons, although in a latent state, becomes developed, takes on the type of the intermittent fever, and to all appearances continues to play the part of the epidemic intermittent fever, so that the medicine, which would have been useful in the first paroxysms, rarely an antisoric, is now no longer suitable and cannot be of any service. We have now to do with a soric intermittent fever only, and this will generally be subdued by minute and rarely repeated doses of sulfur or hepersulfurus in a high potency. So what Hahnemann seems to be telling us in these epidemic, so he's talking about an epidemic such as we have today surfacing on the world scene, really in epidemic proportions, is things like malaria. They have been getting out of hand in many, many countries. And so he's really giving us important advice on how to treat this type of disease with this intermittent fever. And he says that at the very outset, you give one type of a remedy for this acute symptoms that the patient is experiencing to reduce the fever and the pain and the chills and all the other symptoms that go along with it. But then he also says that it's much more difficult to treat if the person has already taken allopathic treatment. So we have a lot of that where a person immediately goes to the hospital, goes to their physician, gets antibiotics, or gets other kinds of treatments, or takes aspirin, which they shouldn't be doing, to reduce the fever. So he says now it's going to go into a different kind of a intermittent fever that needs to be treated a little bit differently. And that's when he said the latent state becomes developed. And it now we cannot use the remedies that might have worked at the very beginning. We have to look at other types of remedies. And he said at first you might have used a remedy that was not antisoric. Now we must use the antisoric remedies. He gives us two selections, sulfur and hepersulf. And now we're going to go ahead into aphorism number 243. In those often very pernicious intermittent fevers which attack a single person not residing in a marshy district, we must also, at first, as in the case, it looks like I'm going to have some screaming children running around the house in a moment, so we will see what happens with that. Maybe Hahnemann could step into my office and lend a hand. I'm going to see how it goes without them. Okay, sounds like there might be a little bit of laughter along with the screaming. join me in my party here for the children's house. Okay, so where we are is, let's see, in those very often very pernicious intermittent fevers which attack a single person not residing in a marshy district, because previously he was indicating that this intermittent fever may have been caused by living in a marshy area that was wet and humid, and obviously it has a lot of mosquitoes and such, and other things that could be causing, be the direct etiology of the intermittent fever. We must add also at first, as in the case of acute diseases generally, which they resemble in respect to their soric origin, employ for some days, to render what service it may, a homeopathic remedy selected for the special case from the other class of proved not antisoric medicines. But if, notwithstanding this procedure, the recovery is deferred, we know that we have to do with sora on the point of its development, and that in this case, antisoric medicines alone can effect a radical cure. So in a way, he's confirming the previous statement of Aphorism 242, and he's reminding us that, number one, he's talking about individuals, he says, which attack a single person. So now we're talking not about the general population. We're looking individually at the case. And then we're saying it's not an obstacle to cure, because previously he said we must take the patient out of the environment that is causing the illness. And then he says we must also at first, meaning what is the steps of care, disease management, patient care, in the different stages of the disease, as in the case of acute diseases generally, which they resemble in respect to their soric origin, and employ for some days. So where he says you're going to be evaluating the patient in is the disease states for a specific length of time, and to render what service it may, a homeopathic remedy selected for the special case from the other class of proved not antisoric medicine. So he's saying now look at a different class of remedies, so that, and that they are definitively proven remedies, that we know they have worked in certain situations, and that they were at first not antisoric. And I will be with you in one moment. Okay, and then, but if, notwithstanding this procedure, the recovery is deferred, so we're not progressing with recovery from the acute fever attack, we know that we have to do with sora on the point of its development, and that in this case, antisoric medicines alone can effect a radical cure. So he is always looking for the highest mission, which is to effect a cure. And so now he goes on in Aphorism 244 to continue to teach us what steps he takes in taking care of intermittent fevers. He says, the intermittent fever endemic in marshy districts and tracts of country frequently exposed to inundations give a great deal of work to physicians of the old school. And yet, a healthy man may in his youth become habituated even to marshy districts and remain in good health, provided he preserves a faultless regimen and his system is not lowered by want, fatigue, or pernicious passions. The intermittent fevers endemic there would at the most only attack him on his first arrival. But one or two very small doses of a highly potentized solution of cinchona bark would, conjointly with the well-regulated mode of living just alluded to, speedily free him from the disease. But persons who, while taking sufficient corporeal exercise and pursuing a healthy system of intellectual occupations and bodily regimen, cannot be cured of marsh intermittent fever by one or a few of such small doses of cinchona, in such persons, psora, striving to develop itself, always lies at the root of their malady, and their intermittent fever cannot be cured in the marshy district without antipsoric treatment. He has a footnote, which I perhaps have for us to read. It sometimes happens that when these patients exchange without delay the marshy district for one that is dry and mountainous, recovery apparently ensues, the fever leaves them. If they be not yet deeply sunk in disease, that is to say, if the psora was not completely developed in them and can consequently return to its latent state, but they will never regain perfect health without anti-psoric treatment. So here, Hahnemann tells us that it is a necessity to elicit cure through homeopathic treatment, through the potentized remedy that fits the case, using an anti-psoric treatment. The footnote here says, large, often repeated doses of cinchona bark, as also concentrated cinchonic remedies, such as the sulfate of quinine, have certainly the power of freeing such patients from the periodic fits of the marsh ague. But those thus deceived into the belief that they are cured remain diseased in another way, frequently with an incurable quinine intoxication. And there is a footnote, or he refers us to aphorism 276, which we will get to at a later date. So he's saying, yes, you, a typically healthy person, supposedly healthy person, who every so often gets this intermittent fever because they have this disease, perhaps malaria, can take the concentrated doses of quinine, sulfate of quinine, and it will relieve them each time of each intermittent fever periodically. However, once again, the person will continue to succumb to these fevers. Whereas what he's saying, that is deluding the person that they are actually well, that they are actually cured of the disease, which is not true. He's saying only the homeopathic, potentized, very rarely given, minuscule doses of homeopathic remedy will elicit a true cure. We can relieve symptoms each time there's an intermittent fever, but that is only, they're kidding themselves that they're actually at a deep level of cure. So going back to aphorism number 244, the intermittent fevers endemic in the marshy districts and tracts of the country, frequently exposed to inundations, give a great deal of work to the physicians of the old school. So allopaths have a problem in these areas where people live and there are marshy areas. Yet, it's possible that a healthy man may in his youth, when they're young, become habituated. They may become used to even living in such an area of maybe tropical environment and remain living there in good health. Now, he gives qualifications of how they can do that. They can do that by preserving a very faultless regimen, I guess living in a strict manner, that his system is not lowered by want, possibly need of the basics, good quality food, rest and sun and exercise and a good living, good relationships, all of the things he has previously taught us. So he is not lowered by want or fatigue or pernicious passions. It is interesting how he points to these three things, and maybe at a later date we can go into further what this, why he chose those three things. Then the intermittent fevers endemic there would at the most only attack him on his first arrival. We're talking about how Hahnemann would take care of this intermittent fever. And he says that it would only occur on his first arrival. So it's almost as if a person becomes acclimated to their new environment, acclimated to whether it is the different types of water and the different microorganisms that are in the water, or the different temperatures and humidities, and being in a different type of environment. So he's saying that we have to acclimate to our environment. And that goes for anybody in any area of life, how we acclimate to new circumstances. And that's why he's saying typically when they're young to do such.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with host Debbie Brock on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to take your Organon off the shelf and read it.